Alright, so the past couple of classes we developed an introduction to Tekah B'Shofar. We spoke about Tekah B'Shofar in the context of the whole picture of Shemoneh Esrei as being the beginning of the second half of Shemoneh Esrei, and then we spoke about Tekah B'Shofar in its more limited individual context of its position of being the 10th bracha after Barich Aleinu, and more structural points of that nature. So tonight I'm going to try and start going through the words, and as is our general malach, we're going to try and basically talk about each concept individually and then try and put it back together in the context of how it fits into the line of Shemoneh Esrei and how it fits into davening. So we'll start with that. I wanted to, as a somewhat of an introduction, this introduction, because this is going to be a very prominent theme in what we're discussing, just to rehash something that we've discussed before, but just to mention it in the context of this bracha. So, which is that the bracha of Tekah B'Shofar of Kibbutz Galios is the 10th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. However, it is the 7th bracha of the middle brachos. And just want to spend a moment on the significance of that. It's going to be an important point of introduction, that it's the 7th bracha of the middle brachos. We discussed before the idea of 7 is the idea of malchus, the idea of royalty. The 7th sphera is the sphera of malchus in the Kabbalistic spheros. Shabbos, which is Shabbos Hamalka, Shabbos Malkasa, is the 7th day of the week. In the Pasuk, L'cha Hashem HaGedula, right? L'cha Hashem HaGedula Gura, is the Pharisee Manitza, Havodki Chobash Mai Varts, L'cha Hashem HaMamlacha, Mamlacha, Malchus is the 7th thing in that list. And just to review very quickly, we discussed before what the idea of Malchus is, but that the idea of Malchus is to take the elements on which it builds and to unify them and give them a greater purpose and to turn them into something more than what they were on their own. So, for example, Shabbos, which is Midah Malchus, Shabbos takes the Sheshes Yemei HaMaisa, Shabbos takes the 6 days of creation and dedicates them towards the recognition of Hashem in the world, right? Shabbos is the Eidos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So Shabbos takes the 6 days of Sheshes Yemei HaMaisa and turns them into, dedicates them towards a higher purpose, turns them into a vehicle for recognizing and acknowledging Hashem's control and involvement in the world. And the role of a melech is to bring together the individuals of the population and to unite them into a nation, and he elevates them to a new level. They're no longer a group of individuals. They are now a nation. They now have, as a unified group, they have the ability to do much more than that which they could have each accomplished on their own. And in the pasuk, L'cha Hashem HaGedula, we discussed before, that starts with L'cha Hashem, and then to you Hashem are, and gives a list of 6 things. And then it says again, L'cha Hashem HaMamlacha, because Malchus is different than the other 6 midos, the other 6 attributes that are mentioned in the pasuk, because Malchus is a separate entity level which builds off of everything else. It's not just one more on the list. It's that which comes at the end and is separate from the rest and takes everything else and turns it from a koach, just something which is, you know, a faculty, a concept, and brings it out into actuality. And that's the idea of Malchus, is taking the elements that are there and bringing them out, developing them, turning into something more than what they are on their own. So this bracha is the seventh bracha of the middle brachos, comes after the first six brachos, right? All of the following brachos of Shmoneh Esrei are really all following on the theme of the seventh, a progression towards Geula, starting with Kibbutz Galuyos, and then the din, and then the destruction of Rishayim, and then the elevation of Tzadikim, and the return to Yerushalayim, and the return of Malchus Beis David. And so the rest of Shmoneh Esrei is really building on that process. The first six brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, as we discussed, are the brachos that are of a more individual nature, the brachos of the needs and necessities that the individual has. So Kibbutz Galuyos, the seventh bracha, comes after the first six, the proptiistic, the brachos that are of a more specific nature, and it brings together all of the specific concepts, all the specific inyanim of the first six under the umbrella of one tachlis, under the umbrella of the tachlis of all of creation, the tachlis of the Bria, which is Giloy Kavod Shemayim, the revelation of Hashem's Kavod, Hashem's presence through the process of Geula. Right, and that's the seventh bracha comes and takes the elements of those first six and puts them into a context where they are now part of they're dedicated towards that higher purpose. We discussed before the idea that the Ramchal says in Derech Hashem and in Das Tfunos that all of creation, we don't understand how while we're going through it, but every single detail of creation fits exactly into what is necessary to bring about the ultimate giloy, the ultimate revelation of Hashem's kavod. So the first six brachos, which are, so to speak, the brachos of now, they're the before the things about all of our needs, all of our regular, some of them more mundane, some of them of a more spiritual nature, but our individual, independent, you know, day-to-day kind of needs, the things that fill our life as, you know, the day-to-day living of life, those things are all absolutely, it's difficult to put it together, to see it in the big picture as we go through it, but everything is an element of building towards that final big picture of Giloy Kavod Shemayim, which is going to come about at the time of the Geula, and that's so the seventh bracha of Geula, the bracha of Tekah B'Shofar, Kibbutz Galuyos, is the seventh bracha, which takes everything that came before it and dedicates it towards that higher purpose. We're going to try and we'll get back to this theme of this idea, this theme of Malchus, the idea of bringing everything together and harmonizing, developing something to another level, the theme of the discussion that we're going to have for at least the first line of the bracha. So first, what I wanted to talk about tonight, and we'll see if we get all the way through it, is the idea of what a tekiah is. And specifically, we'll contrast the idea of tekiah with the teruah, the two blasts that we have from a shofar. There's a tekiah and a teruah. There's a third one called a shvarim, but the Gemara is pretty clear that a shvarim is not really a third sound. It's really just a doubt as to what the proper implementation of a teruah is. Is a teruah these short sounds or slightly longer sounds? It's split into three or split into much more. So, but the shvarim is really just one opinion of what a teruah is supposed to sound like. The two sounds that we really have are just the that's pretty neat. Open to the page I wanted. The two sounds that we have are really just the teruah and the tekiah. So both of these sounds really are discussed pretty clearly in Chumash, what they where they are needed, where they're necessary, and Rav Hirsch in Korib says that we see from the purpose of the tekiah and the teruah in Chumash, how they were their very practical utilitarian purpose. We can really see the idea of what the idea of a tekiah is and what the idea of a teruah is. We're going to try and build off of the foundation that he sets from just looking at the psukim. And the psukim in Parshas Mahaluska, so Bamidbar Perek Yud, so the Torah says that when Moshe wanted to gather together the congregation to the Ohel Moed, so he would blow a tekiah. The idea of a tekiah was sounded to gather, possibly in certain situations, to gather the leaders, but also to gather everyone. But the idea of the tekiah is, the purpose of the tekiah is to gather together. Trua, on the other hand, was specifically for traveling. When they wanted to travel, they would blow a trua, and then that would be the signal for the camp to gather up and to break down the camp and go. And the Gemara, based on the different psukim in the parsha over here, actually says, and this is how we actually do, why we do this on Rosh Hashanah, we do a tekiah trua tekiah. The Gemara learns out from the psukim over here in Baha'oscha that a trua consists actually of a tekiah, a trua, and a tekiah. The sound of a trua really is meant to be introduced and followed by a tekiah, and that's all part of what the trua is. And the idea of the trua is consists of these three sounds: the tekiah, the trua, and the tekiah. And the tekiah within the trua is still the same idea, is still serves the same purpose as what it serves when it's on its own. When it's on its own, the purpose of the tekiah was to gather everyone together for a meeting. And the purpose of a tekiah within the midbar was they blew a tekiah to basically get everyone's attention, to gather different minds that were all dispersed across many, you know, varied array of activities, each person doing whatever they were doing in the machane, to get everyone on the same page. Then they did a trua. The trua was the sound that signified to break down their tents, their dwellings, to break down the camp. And then the next tekiah was to then start going. So that's the idea of the tekiah in the midbar, I mean, within traveling, also served the same purpose, to gather everyone together and then to put everyone on the same direction to get up and start going. That was also the purpose of the tekiah. And that's, you know, Hirsch discusses this. I don't want to spend too much time on this because it's not so directly relevant to our discussion, but it's a wonderful idea. I actually gave a class on this topic a few years ago, and when I was asked to speak on Rosh Hashanah, spoke about this idea. But Rav Hirsch says that the idea of tekiah, trua tekiah on Rosh Hashanah is really the same thing. The idea of tekiah, trua tekiah on Rosh Hashanah is first to gather, the person is given the tekiah sound to get his attention, to gather himself together from all of the different aspects of life that he's involved in, to focus himself, to get his attention, and to draw himself inward. And then the trua is to break down all of the things that are directing him and pulling him in all different directions, to break down the all of the pulls that he has and all of the different inclinations and things that are going on in his life, to break down his preconceived direction. And then the tekiah, the final tekiah, is then to begin moving in the new direction, which is the direction of accepting the direction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the person to go. And that's the idea of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, is this idea of redirection. It's gathering yourself in from all the different things that you're distracting you, and then breaking yourself down and breaking up where you were and who you were, and then redirecting and moving on in the new direction. But that's the idea of tekiah and trua. So the tekiah represents this idea of taking what's the word I'm looking for? Taking attitudes, minds, people, things separated across, you know, different, spread out, and uniting them. And the trua is really, the sound in the middle, is actually about breaking something down and taking it apart. So let's talk for a few minutes about the idea of the tekiah versus the trua. So a tekiah we know the sound of the tekiya is a pshuta. It's a simple sound, meaning that it's one elongated, uninterrupted sound. That's the basic definition, the halachic definition of what a trua, of what a tekiya is. It's one steady sound, a tekiya which actually changes keys in the middle of the tekiya. Actually has to be that the one key was that it's on one key for long enough to qualify. It has to be one solid tone, one unified sound. A trua, on the other hand, a trua is broken up. So the question of a shvarim or a trua, how broken up it is, but the trua, the basic definition of a trua, is a broken sound. The svarim tell us that the tekiya represents rachamim, Hashem's rachamim, and the trua corresponds to Hashem's din. And it's because of this point of the difference between the two sounds. The tekiya is one unified sound, while the trua is fragmented. The trua is broken up into parts. And din, right, judgment comes in when something is viewed strictly, is where you look at events in isolation. You take the deed that a person did, and it's looked at in a vacuum. Did you or did you not speak Lashon Hara? Did you or did you not eat treif? Whatever it was that the person did, did they do it or did they not do it? So, if you know, you watch the video at 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, and he did whatever he did, and that's okay. That's din. Din says, okay, you did it, so that's the end of it. Rachamim is when you look at it in the context of a much bigger picture. When you see everything together, you see everything as part of, in the context of a greater picture, of there's something much greater that's going on here. That's the idea of rachamim is, so okay, so he did whatever it was wrong, but several ways, in general, look, he does a lot of good, and view it in context of that, this is an exception to the way that he normally is, or that there are, circumstances that this is something that he has a particular challenge with because of, or to view it in the context of a big picture, and to not look in isolation and in a vacuum at the situation in question. That's what Rachamim says. Rachamim says we're going to look at things as part of one big picture. We're not going to split things up. We're not going to fragment it into everything is viewed and judged on its own. Rachamim is not just that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Vatran. Kol Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Vatran Achayav. Ameyav. That if a person says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu just he doesn't care, right? He just foregoes things. He's a frivolous, spendthrift with people's scarf onish. That's not the way it works. Rachamim does not mean that Hashem just says, okay, you know what, I don't care. Rachamim is that Hashem looks at the person as a whole person. He doesn't look at just this way. He's willing to give the person the benefit and the leniency, but basically the advantage of looking at his specific situation in the context of the entire picture of who he is, looking at it in the context of a bigger picture. And that's the first point about tekiya versus trua. A tekiya is one unified sound. It represents looking at things in one unified picture, looking at things in a greater picture, seeing everything together, bringing everything together and seeing it in a broader context, in a greater context, looking at the big picture. And the terua is a broken sound, and it represents seeing things broken down, seeing things in the way they are, and that's where din comes from, and a shofar and the terua therefore represents the strict judgment, because you're looking at things very strictly. What was it? Nothing more than that. Look at it in a vacuum, and that's what it is, and there's nothing more. there are two types of gyro. I'm going to translate it for now as, I guess, fear. There's two different elements of fear, a fear of Hashem, that are often discussed in Jewish thought. There's one of them which leads to ahava, to love of Hashem, and the other one leads to pachad. The other one leads to fear, to being cowed, being frightened of Hashem. And those two types of yira are yiras haromimus, which probably the easiest way to translate it is awe. You are awed by just the absolute loftiness of Hashem and how incredible Hashem is, and thinking about just the incredible nature of Hashem's existence and how great He is and perfect, and basically just appreciating the incredible, just what Hashem is, to the best that we're able to understand such a thing. That's Yiras HaRomimus, is basically being awed by the sheer realization of Hashem's Romimus, of Hashem's loftiness, seeing that loftiness. That's Yiras HaRomimus. It's being taken aback by the exalted loftiness and greatness of Hashem. And that leads to ahava and simcha. It leads to a love of Hashem, and it leads to a simcha because you're basking in the relationship to such a big, to such a being. It leads to a connection, a greater appreciation of the fact that you are able to be an Eved Hashem, that you are able to have a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, realizing and appreciating and being awed before His greatness, really leads to an ahava. It leads to a greater appreciation of your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a greater appreciation of who exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That type of yira is a yira that leads to ahava and simcha. The other one is yiras ha'onesh. The other type of yira is yiras ha'onesh, which means fear of consequence. A person recognizes that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is totally in charge, and a person recognizes that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is yodeh ma'isa b'nei adam, and he's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what's going on, and he's in complete control, and he's going to know if you were over our tzono. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there's going to be consequences to not following, not doing what the Kadosh Baruch Hu said. And a person basically is focusing on the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu because they recognize that, you know, they better not do otherwise. The person, that is the yira which leads to pachad, which leads to being cowed before Hashem, which leads to having, you know, a relationship where I realize that I have to do, there's nothing to do with whether or not I want to do what Hashem wants me to do. Yiras HaRomimus leads to me having a greater desire to want to do Ratzon Hashem. Yiras HaOnesh leads to a greater realization that I have to do what Hashem says. And they're both important. It happens to be that Ashi Adam Mefachi Tamid, that a person who has pachad all the time is praiseworthy, because at the end of the day, we're human. It's difficult for a person to live their entire life on such a clear recognition of just the recognition of how great Hashem is, and that I want to do His ratzon. And every now and then a person, you know, will come to a point where they'll tell themselves why it's not so important, and they'll start to justify to themselves why, whatever they're trying to justify to themselves. And at that point, it's very important that a person has yira, that a person realizes that at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control, and you don't, and you really don't have a choice. Part of being an Eved Hashem is that even when you don't feel like it, that mitzvos are still mitzvos. So certainly there's a place and an importance for both of them, and both of them need to be present, and both of them need to be developed. But at the end of the day, the higher level of the two is clearly the Yiras HaRomimus, is the yira which comes from the the recognition of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, wanting to be connected to Hashem, and then wanting to do Hashem's Ratzon, because you realize how central that is and how incredible and lofty HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The Tekiah is associated with Simcha. The Pasuk says, Ubayom Simchaschem, Ubamoadechem, etc., Utekatem Bashofar. That is, on the day of your Simcha, you'll blow a tekiah. Right? That the tekiah, the sound of tekiah, is associated with an event of Simcha on the Moed, that there's going to be a tekiah. Tekiah is associated with Simcha. And Terua, on the other hand, the broken up sound Terua, is associated with Pachad. Right? Pasuk says, Kisavo v'chisavo milchama, v'tzarocha, that's when you go into war and they're oppressing you and you're fighting back. And then it says, v'hare osem, that you will, v'hare osem Terua, exactly the end of the pasuk, v'hare osem, means you will blow a Terua blast. At the time of suffering, at the time of oppression, at the time of danger, right? At that, the event of Pachad is associated with the Terua, is associated with the Onesh that comes from Din. That's the association of the Terua. And these are obviously very connected. The idea of the Tekiah, the idea of seeing everything as part of the big picture, seeing the totality of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is, seeing that Hashem is the looking at everything and seeing the getting to the whole picture of creation in which the entire world is here for a giloy of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and seeing that greatness, that's what the tekiah represents, and that's why the tekiah is associated with Simcha, because that realization and that type of yira leads to Simcha, and that tekiah is associated with Simcha, because the tekiah represents where I see everything together and I'm able to pull everything together into something greater and see how everything fits into to a greater picture. And that's the from that realizing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that leads to the Ahava and the Simcha of realizing that the closeness, the specialness of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the tekiah is the sound which is associated with the simcha, is associated with the yiras haromamus, is this sound of the pshuta, the sound that's associated with Hashem's rachamim, because it all is part of the same yisod. It's all part of the same idea of seeing something greater, of seeing the whole picture, seeing everything, how everything fits together. As opposed to the Terua is associated with Pachad, because the Terua is the broken up sound, it's the sound of fragmentation, it's the sound of seeing things separated, the sound of Din, and Onesh comes from Din. Onesh comes from the punishment is a result of that you're judged and found lacking. That's a result of not seeing things as part of a bigger picture, of not seeing things as being a chelak of something greater, and therefore the Terua is associated with the Pachad, with the fear, the time of distress, you know, that the Terua is associated with Milchama, with war, because the Terua is the sound which is that fragmentation, which is the Shoresh, which is the real source of all of these things, of Din and Onesh and Pachad. But the Tekiah is the exact opposite, is the sound of a Shlemus, of bringing everything together, of seeing the whole picture, of seeing a completion. One last level, and I think we'll stop with this. The Tekiah is also related to Malchus. We also find that the Tekiah is associated with the idea of royalty. The at the anointment of a king, they sounded a tekiah, like we find by the anointment of Shlomo HaMelech in Malachim Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, and Pasuk Lamed Tes, that talks about that when they that by the anointment of Shlomo HaMelech as king, that there was a tekiah. They blew the tekiah. The tekiah is also associated with Malchus. Is also associated with the idea, with that midah of Malchus. And Malchus, as we mentioned, is the idea that we started with tonight, the idea of bringing everything together into a new unified entity, taking all of the disparate parts, all of the fragmented parts, and pulling them together and putting them into something more, uniting all of the elements that on their own are separate, on their own are nothing more than what they are, and bringing them together and creating something more out of that. But that's the idea of Malchus, is the idea of creating that Achdus, of bringing everything together and turning it into something which is more than the sum of its parts. And that's the tekiah, is also associated with Malchus. The tekiah is also part of that same idea, because as everything we've been discussing, that the tekiah is the same idea. The tekiah is the idea of bringing everything together, of uniting all of the disparate parts, of seeing everything as part of one long, steady sound, seeing everything as being part of one unified picture, and then through that, bringing everything together into something more than what it is by the sum of its parts. Things are viewed differently when you view things in a vacuum, when you view each thing on its own, so then you're left with din, you're left, you have nothing more than the event itself. A person did an Avera, the Avera was an Avera. That's the end of the discussion. There's nothing more to talk about. It's only when you view things in the vacuum, when you view everything together as part of a greater context, that then you can see that each event on its own, there's more to it. There's more to talk about. There are other things. There are other parts of the picture which affect this. Which affect this also. You see a garden. Each flower in the garden may have its own aspect of beauty. Why it looks nice. But each one adds something that when you put it all together, you see the entire garden. It's more than just the prettiness, the beauty of each flower on its own. That when you put it all together, it creates something which adds an element which was lacking in each thing individually. You see, each thing on its own is no longer just what it was. There's something added to the entire picture by seeing it all together, and that's the idea of what a tekiah is. The tekiah is the idea of bringing everything together, of uniting, creating a unity out of things which are currently disparate, fragmented elements, and turning it into something, and uniting it, bringing it together, and turning it into something greater than it was on its own. And that the tekiah is the same idea here of Malchus, which is the same idea of bringing something together and giving it a purpose, directing it, and turning it into something more than what it was on its own. We'll try next week to talk about shofar. We'll see how tekiah and shofar go together, and the idea of the shofar gadol, and go on from there.